Last week we talked about the revelation of the church and how important it was in Matthew chapter 16. We left off last week in verse 20, but we recap on 18, verse 18, and the revelation of the church. And it says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Listen, Lord, we come before you, Father. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit aid this time, Father, in this word, Lord. Let us be filled with your Spirit, Lord. Holy Spirit, teach us, Father, right now, and guide us. In your name, Jesus, amen. God bless you guys. Welcome to Growing in His Word. And it says, here we were last week. We talked about the building my church, and Jesus said, "I will build my church," and it indicated that the church had not yet been started. Obviously, the disciples didn't, at this point, understand the doctrine because the church wasn't started. And so the church was, it's equality, and the church of, you know, basically wasn't really standing yet, because believe it or not, the church is in us. And God's followers, the Lord's followers at that time, they didn't know that they were actually becoming the actual church. And the people who wanted to follow Jesus, the gates he talked about of Hades, of hell, shall not prevail against it. And Jesus may have been saying this because that death would not vanquish the church. And one day, by the power of Christ's resurrection, the church and all that was redeemed will be resurrected. And basically, we know that God will always conquer every single moment of negativity that comes into our mind. We just got to allow the Holy Spirit to weed out that rottenness that comes into our life and the negative people, because it brings us down. We got to keep going, believers. It's the only way, is by being positive and understanding that Jesus Christ is in control of every situation, man. Listen, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 is powerful. And when we receive Jesus, we become the church. He comes into us, like the Bible says in Corinthians. Our body becomes the temple, and Christ dwells in us, in our heart. And so we don't have to lose hope, man, because we know that Christ lives in us, and he'll never leave us, the Bible says, nor will he forsake us. And no matter what kind of feelings you have out there, feelings will lead you astray, but the Bible says that God's word will never leave you nor forsake you. Go off of the word. And when we sin, we ask for forgiveness, and Christ will take our sins and bury them at the bottom of the abyss and never throw them in our face. Isn't that amazing? How awesome God is, how faithful he is. It's called God's grace. And the key to God's grace is knowing that love covers a multitude of sins. And we don't have to try, believers. We just allow God in our lives, and he will go to bat for us. As much as that sounds crazy, it's true. You're probably thinking, how could that be like this? I mean, I've been doing this for years and sinning and sinning and sinning, and now boom, that's it? Yeah, that's it, man. That's all you got to do. Submit to the Lord. Follow him. Receive him. And he says here in verse 19, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Dude, that's crazy. You ever wanted a brand new Ferrari? This is better than a Ferrari. You wanted a brand new house paid off? Boom, here you go. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." It's a radical message, man. I mean, it's so deep that, and I haven't even gotten past verse 18 and 19 where he's talking about our verse 18 yet, man. It's just amazing, man. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that, you know, the Apostle Paul hit it. It was on the true nature of the church as the body of Christ. When he asked, do you not know that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you of? And so, you know, we destroy ourselves with sin because the sin equals death. And it's the Greek word is translated as you in verse 16 and 17. It's plural. So when Paul said you are the temple of God, he was referring to the believers as a group. Okay, the local church. And so the temple in Jerusalem was a sacred building, and it was dedicated to the worship of God, according to Paul. The church was basically the equivalent of the temple, and God's presence resides in the church, and the church was to maintain holiness. God says, be holy, for I am holy. Listen, we're just a moment away, man. God's going to come and redeem us believers, take us, and we will, everybody will pass, and everybody will eventually go to heaven who's saved. But in the New Testament, God's presence was manifested in the new way, in a new way, in a person of Jesus Christ. They call it the Logos, and who is the living incarnate, eternal word of God. John 1 says it through 1:4, but the Logos took the human on Logos took on human flesh and made his home among us. This is through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. God lived among his people, and his name is Emmanuel, means God is with us. Okay? So we can see where Logos in the Greek term is translated as word, speech, principle, or a thought. You think something. In Greek, the philosophy, it's also referred to as universal divine reason or the mind of God. We've got to have the mind of God. We can't be God, but we can try to have the mind. And so, you know, the Bible's talking here about having that mindset of God and binding everything that you want in heaven instead of earth. You want that Ferrari, then think of the heavenly things. You don't need a real tangible Ferrari. I mean, if you want it, it's yours. Go ahead, have it. But eventually that will rot too. That will grow moths and collect dust. And the Bible says don't store up your treasures on earth. Or you know, I mean, because three or four weeks ago, we talked about the treasures in heaven. Remember that. Matthew 6, 19 to 21 says, don't store up yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal it. You ever see new cars getting redone and they're like old Porsches and, man, it's been in the garage since 1960. I'm so happy. Wow, I got it. I scored. And then, you know, you see a vermin in there and it's just eating the wire. Oh, no, but I got to replace all the wire in this car. It's going to cost me $35,000. You know what I mean? But store up yourselves treasures, you see? You know, it's funny stuff, man, because I see it all the time. When you have the mind of Christ, you don't really care about the things of the world. And so don't store up yourselves treasures on the earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal it. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And that is exactly what I'm talking about, man. Wherever your heart, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus never intended us to be focusing on the riches of the world. He never wanted us to be focused on worshiping our animals or worshiping our friends or worshiping movie stars or rock stars. They're human too, you know, or presidents or kings or queens or wherever you are. If you're over there in Africa, I know you guys listen to my sermons there. Don't worship your leader and your, you know, your clan leader. Listen, worship Jesus Christ because he died for us on the cross. And we are his church, and he lives in us. We are his temple. His church is in us. We got to have that Logos mind. L-O-G-O-S mind. In the Greek, Aramaic, it's the mindset of God's mindset. He's the one who loves us first. And verse 19 says, and I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Man, he's giving you the keys. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, man. Bind up the treasures in heaven. Keep thinking to yourself, I have joy, joy, joy down in my heart in treasures. And listen, in verse 19 says, and you will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Dude, it's radical. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus Christ, because he didn't want them to know his time yet, because the revelation of Jesus Christ wasn't, he didn't want people to, you know, it wasn't his time yet. So that's what he did. So from that time, in verse 21, where we picked off last week, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Here's where Christ is laying out the foundation for him dying on the cross for our sins. This is amazing, man. These disciples didn't even know what was going on. I mean, they had a clue, but really, if you look, God is setting up the kingdom right here, man. It's radical. He's saying, man, I'm going to lay it all down for you. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's going to suffer many things from the elder, the chief priests, and the scribes. And it says he's going to be killed and be raised on the third day. But we got to be obedient to him and to these words. Listen, Jonah was disobedient. And Jonah ran away. Jonah ran away, and he didn't want to tell the Ninevites to repent. And Jonah, you know, he was the son of Amittai, and basically, it was a prophet in the Hebrew Bible. Okay, it was Gath-Hepher of the northern kingdom of Israel, and it was in the 8th century, but Jonah, BCE, Jonah is the central figure of the book of Jonah, and it details how he ran away from God. He, you know, God was going to judge Nineveh. Okay? And he returns to the divine mission after he gets swallowed by a large sea creature, and then he's released. It's so funny, after he gets swallowed by this freaking big old giant whale, he gets swam. He runs away. Listen, believers, listen to this. He runs away from what God's called him to do, right? Then after he runs away, this big old fish, man, he's already preparing a fish. Jonah bails to the boat, gets on a boat, and the guys that are with him are like, hey, man, I don't know about you, man. The waves are getting kind of crazy here. What did you do to your God? And Jonah was like, man, just keep rowing. I got to get out of here. He didn't want to serve the Lord. I mean, listen, look at your own lives. And God caused the whale to come. And he said, just throw me overboard, dude, because you're all going to die. I chose this. I ran from God. Everybody that's involved is going to get it. Just throw me overboard. Throw me overboard. That's it. Throw me overboard. As soon as they threw him overboard, the rain stopped, the waves stopped, the sea started stopped roaring and raging, and boom, it was silent like broad daylight. And then the whale takes him. He's drowning. Help! Help! And he's going down to the bottom of the ocean, and a whale picks him up, man. Scoops him up. I don't believe that. Okay. Well, he swam Jonah for 3 days and 3 nights to Nineveh and belched that dude right out on the shore. If God can do that with Jonah, what do you think he wants to do with you? He's telling you, get out there. Preach my word. Teach. Tell people you love me. I am in you. We are together. You are the temple. Corinthians, I just read it. We are together. Don't stop. You see, you're thinking to yourself, maybe, I don't know, these preachers been saying this for years. I'm not a preacher, man. I'm a servant of the Most High. 99% of the preachers ask for money. I don't need your money. I'm just telling you that God loves you and he has a plan for you. Listen, verse 22 says, 21 says, for many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, Jesus is saying. And he's going to be raised on the third day, like just like Jonah when he took that trip on that whale, man. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Oh, God, he's going to try to rebuke God now. That's funny. You ever get mad and say, why me, God? Oh, why me? Oh, I wanted that new car. And then the guy buys the car that you wanted, and he's stuck with like a $900 car payment. You know, God protects us. But we want to argue with him. Listen, then Peter takes, you know, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. He still didn't get it. They still had no clue that Christ was going to go to the cross and die for our sins. They still didn't get the fact that they can be redeemed from their sins. Verse 23 says, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God. Logos. Mindful. We need to be logos. But the things of men is what you're mindful of. He kept his mind on the man. Jesus was saying, get your things off of man and get them on me, Peter. Get your mind off the earthly things. Get the drugs out of your veins. Get the drugs out of your nose. I mean, he didn't tell Peter that, but he's telling the people, whoever's listening out there, whoever's doing the drugs, get clean. Get clean so you can see. Have faith. I'll heal you. Quit eating the mushrooms. Quit drinking the booze. Get clean, and I'll show you a new life. You know, it's funny. People will try everything, but they won't try Jesus. It's because that void in their heart has to be filled. And that's why Jesus Christ here in verse 21 is saying, for many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day, the man of God, the son of man, you know, son of God, I'm sorry, has to suffer. He's saying that I have to suffer because you guys can't get it right. And we can't. We're blow-its. Well, I'm a blow-it. We're all blow-its. You know, one day I was preaching on the pulpit and the pastor was telling me, shh, shh, don't say that, man. Don't say that, man. Don't say that you're a blow-it, man. I go, what? Why? Because they're going to think that you're not really a good pastor and they're not going to tithe here. I go, dude, I'm out of here, man. You take over this rotten place that you created. I've been trying to fix this church for years. And you're the stinker that's coming over here poisoning it. So I took this pastor to the pulpit right there in front of the church and I rebuked him in front of the whole church. It wasn't not an easy thing to do, believers. To walk away from a church that was corrupted by someone else. And then you put him on the pulpit and then he scatters the flock. Wasn't easy. But I did it for the Lord. And that's one of the reasons why we have to be obedient. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, listen, 24, verse 24. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. It's like going to the doctor all the time, you know? You're like, oh, man, something goes wrong, you got to go to the doctor. You're scared. Dude, forget it. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Because greater is he in us, man, than us in this nasty world. Believers, listen to me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Look at what Jesus is saying is submit to Jesus. Don't follow the world. And the drugs and the unprotected, nasty, sin. The sin that you live, the lifestyles. Don't go there anymore. Get out. Take up your cross. Jesus says, follow me. Deny yourself. We're blow it. Submit. Give it all to Jesus. Let him take over because he will. He loves us. He loves us. For whoever, listen to this. For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? I've seen it. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will he give, man? Well, for fame, fortune, money? Woo! Satan is a liar. I want to be a star. I want to be this. I want to do that. I want this. What we want is we don't know what we want yet because you're not saved. You don't know what you really want. Believers, don't gamble with the devil. Don't make deals with Satan because it's not going to be easy to undo. Listen, believers, Jesus Christ will undo everything for us, but we got to be thinking very, very hard about these verses. Verse 24 all the way to, you know, I want you to read this when we're done, but Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. We have to deny ourselves, church. Believers, I've been dealt dirty blows in my own life. I've been hurt, abused. I've been abused. I've been hurt as a child. It hurts. I continue my whole life and I'll never ever stop struggling. But I'll tell you this. Don't give up. Jesus never gave up on you. He loves you and the devil hates you. Remember that. If God favors you, Satan favors you too because he knows that God has a plan for you. Don't let the devil destroy what God has given you. God brought you into this world. We owe our lives to him. And we as believers must continue this race. Peter tried to rebuke Jesus because he didn't understand. Peter tried to rebuke Jesus and say, no, I'm going to protect you. Like when he cut off the centurion's ear. Peter tried to defend our God, but God can defend himself. We don't have to defend God, believers. Listen, we don't have to defend God. God can defend himself. He's very good at it. Trust me. If he can make Balaam speak as a donkey, a jackass, I mean, he can do all kinds of stuff. If Jesus fed 5,000, he can defend himself. If Jesus can heal the sick, the hurt, the depressed, the brokenhearted, the suicidal thought, Jesus healed it all. He can heal. He can defend himself. Believers, God can defend himself. Imagine that. You're riding a donkey. You know, Balaam's getting whipped, the donkey. And the donkey actually tells him, why are you beating me? God can defend himself. God is beyond. He can do beyond what we could never think of. Jesus Christ is our God. Yeshua HaMashiach, Bemet. Ani Chudia, but this is Jesus Christ is our God. Messianics, you guys, we love Jesus. We all love Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm praying for you guys. But don't worry. Peter tried to rebuke Jesus, but he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. And it wasn't that Peter was Satan. It was that the devil was using Peter at that moment. And he does it today in our own lives. Through decisions that we make, through fast decisions. Never make a fast decision, believers. Always stop and look and pray and say, is this good for the Lord? Is this good for God? Is this good for my household? Is this good for my daughters? Is this good for my son? Is this good for me? Is this good for Jesus? Is Jesus going to bless this? If I get this, will Jesus turn this into a nice blessing for everybody? Because it's not about us. Is that what's going to happen? I mean, we got to pray, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, ask the Lord, and then wait. But I don't want to wait. That's the problem. When we don't wait, God has to go around us to get it done. And God's telling Peter, dude, you better wait. I'm going to die for you. But he don't understand that. Because that's hardcore, dude. And it is hardcore. But we can't compromise and try to save our own life, our own butts. We got to be doers of the word, not only hearers, like it says in James. And we got to get out there, and we got to love on others, and we got to show them God's mercy. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will he give in exchange? For the Son of Man, verse 27 says, listen to this. He'll come up, listen to this. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father. Woo! With his angels. You know how powerful them are. And then he will reward each according to his works. It's like a ceremony. Here you go, Yost. Here comes the master. As surely I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. He's talking about the rapture. In Greek, harpazo, to be caught up, snatched away in a twinkling of an eye. Harpazo, he's saying. You won't taste death. It's a Greek word to seize, carry by off by force, to seize on, claim oneself eagerly, to snatch or to be snatched away. Harpazo. Okay? It doesn't say rapture in the Bible, but it says harpazo, the word Greek, caught up, caught away. It's basically the 5 times out of 13 it appears in the Bible relating to the rapture. The other 8 times it's translated to forcibly be seized upon, snatched away, taken to oneself, or use force on someone. Wow. I say to you, there are some standing here who say, you shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Remember Elijah? Elijah. He was caught up, man. Crazy. Whew. Enoch and Elijah were assumed into heaven. They were snatched away. They were still alive and not experienced. They didn't touch physical death, man. God just snatched up Enoch and Elijah. Those are the only two in the Bible. Well, I don't believe in the rapture. You better believe in it, because it says it right here. It says, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Amazing, isn't it? Because Jesus and Moses and Elijah represented the Old Testament right here. I mean, not here, but in the law of the prophets. But in the New Testament, Jesus is the one who represents everybody. He is all and Lord of all. It's amazing, man. I'm so excited. But remember verse 23 before we close this chapter. And I want to focus on this. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. Ooh, you offended me. You offended me. Wow. It's crazy. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And we believers need to be mindful of the things of God every time we wake up in the morning. This is what we need to say. Lord, what shall you have me do today? Lord, what rock shall I stand on today for you? Lord, I got another negative thought from the devil. Lord, where do you want me to go today? It's radical. Try it. I dare you. I back in the day, we used to say double dog dare you. I triple dog dare you to go do it. Ask Jesus Christ every day and say, Lord, give me your logos. Give me your mind. Give me your logo mindset. I want to be like you. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that we can become more like you, but not be you, Father. And so today, Lord, I pray that you bless this fallen world. Lord, use this sermon, Father. Let it, Father God, touch the lives of non-believers and believers to hold on. Because persecution, Lord, you suffered many things, Father, before us. And so we as believers, we know that we're going to suffer things, but we got to count it all joy when we fall into these joy of trials, Father. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your love and what you did on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. Listen, thank you for growing in his word. Growing in his word was sponsored by Jesus and powered by the Holy Spirit, or vice versa. They're together. You know, they're the Godfather. They're the Godhead. You guys, I love you guys. Whoever's out there that don't know Jesus, nobody's here picking on you. We're just picking at the devil out of your mind. We want you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, not forcefully. We don't believe in forcing anything on anybody out there. We don't have a church here, and we don't take donations. So give your donations to the next homeless person or the neighbor that's hurting. Love your neighbor, and even though their dogs try to bite you or whatever it is, keep loving them. Keep pressing on, Jesus says, and whatever challenges you have in this life, know that God's given it to you so he can build you up, so that he can show you many things in this life. God bless you guys, and thank you for growing in his word.